None is good but God. With God, all things are possible. Today we acclaim, celebrate the goodness, the generosity of God. That word goodness in the New Testament here, and especially in Galatians 5:22, agathosune, means goodness that is active. Goodness in the present active indicative. Goodness with track shoes on. Goodness at work. Behold the goodness, the generosity of God. On this rainy New England working Sunday, somehow I am reminded of a Sunday years ago in the Southwest, in the sunshine, a day free. What a treat for one who makes his living by the sweat of his jaw to have a Sunday free. I skipped breakfast, went to church, found lunch, drove to the site of the football game, Cardinals and Giants, hoping to find a ticket. I passed by the scalpers, went to the ticket office, and there stood. After a while, a burly bloke came toward us. It was a long line. And there he stood in Cardinals shirt and Cardinals hat and Cardinals socks and Cardinals pants. He had on his back a beverage backpack with a plastic lip guide, and he was wearing a hat that had two wings on it that flapped cardinal-like so that when he moved, his hat did too. He was altogether an apocalyptic surprise. After a moment, he looked us in the eye and said, "I have two $50 tickets. I don't want to sell them. I want to give them away." Do you know there was dead silence? No one responded. Perhaps it was partly his presence, but mostly it was the surprise of his generosity. We didn't really know what to do. He said, "These are free. They're on the 30-yard line, 18 seats up, 18 rows up. I want to give them away. Who will have them?" Silence, no response. Finally, in a bit of a tiff, he handed them toward the ticket counter and said, "You give them away," at which point yours truly, not born yesterday, said, "Thank you very much. I'll be glad to have them." But you know, walking to the turnstile, I realized as I came toward it that I only needed one ticket. I had two. So I turned to the crowd there and said, "I have a free $50 ticket. I'd like to give it to somebody. I don't want to sell it. Who would like it?" Silence, no response. Again, I asked, and you know, they wondered, and no one came. Finally, a fellow came forward and said, "All right, buddy, I don't know what your agenda is, but I'll take it." There is something so surprising about the fullness of generosity. The divine generosity surprises us, gives us a seat, gives us space, and seduces us into living our own generous lives as well. There's a surprising quality to the divine generosity. What a privilege over many years to look back at the giving that women and men have done. I think of a woman coming in and laying a substantial check on the desk and saying, "For whatever you'd like to use this, here is support." I think of a friend offering his seacoast home when we needed a place to stay for a wedding. I think of a person who had received pastoral care and went ahead and endowed a position in pastoral care. I think of the generosity of Marsh Chapel. Marsh Chapel flourishes because of the reflective generosity of its people, women and men, one who sees and hears and does and gives, who is blessed and so then blesses. Do you know, you only have what you can give away. You only finally truly possess what you have the power and freedom to give away. But you know that. You are giving people. I think of the groups and communities who have lived the divine generosity and so surprised those all around them, salt and light. They are. It's in the scripture in full, the 33rd Psalm. "The earth is full of the chesed of the Lord, the generosity of the Lord." Romans 15, You are full, too, of generosity. 2 Corinthians 9, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Galatians 6, let us watch over one another in love. And Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, if anyone asks for your coat, give your cloak. If he asks for 1 mile, go with him too as well. You think of those parables of sowing and reaping and that blessing we hope to hear at the end of time from a greater light and from a farther shore. Well done, here is the word in Greek, thou generous and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. There is a surprise, a jolt, in the experience of divine generosity. Look about you. Everything in this chapel, its pulpit, its glass, its organ, its pews, its program, its ministry, are here because somebody made a decision to see it so. That surprise, that divine generosity surprising us, can open up space for others. Oh, I know we like to support particular projects, I do as well as any, but there is another reality pressing upon us this day that reminds us that the future of wonder and morality and generosity are found here, right here, and in similar spaces and communities. The seeds are being planted in the minds and hearts of young adults here today with regard to what the world will look like 40, 50, 60 years from now. Generosity opens a space for others. I see it week by week. Just 1 week, in less than 5 days, I saw, these are all people in their early 20s, one writing and publishing his own poems, one growing in a capacity to mature as a preacher, one studying economics now and into the future, one deciding to get and to be married at an early age, all signs of space opened for a hopeful future. Generosity opened space, you know, some years ago, after our daughter had gone off to college and we no longer had much experience with a teenage girl nearby. Friends of ours asked if we would, for 3 days, watch their two young teenage daughters. And I thought we might be a little rusty, so I was frankly hesitant, but I went to the spiritual leader of our home, and Jan said, it'll be fine, bring them along. And you know, for those 3 days, we had again what we once had loved, the joyful laughter of siblings together, the mirth and playfulness of 14 and 15 year olds. And now that their mom has gone to glory, to the church triumphant, and now that they are finished studying, one is just finishing a PhD in public health at Harvard as we speak. I wouldn't give those 3 days up for all the tea in China, for a king's ransom. Real generosity causes us, sometimes against a prevailing wind, to make space, find a seat, whether it's on the 30-yard line or the 60-yard line, for somebody else. That's the divine generosity and its impress upon us. It's a serious existential claim. Real generosity encourages us, even seduces us into becoming generous ourselves. We see it every season, here and now. Thank goodness for the goodness of the salt and light represented in these very pews. And at Boston University, generally, you know, this week, this last fortnight, I have been thinking about Jane Addams speaking about encouraging generosity. Some of you will remember that 140 years ago, Jane Addams, almost alone to start, began what became in our history as a country the most potent, powerful urban ministry to the poor. Jane Addams grew up in Rockford, Illinois, but decided to invest herself in the city of Chicago, and there she built Hull House. And through it, she inspected factories for safety. And through it, she organized operas and music and theater in the streets. And through it, she developed a national voice on behalf of the poor decades before suffrage, we might add. She became an exemplar of generosity, the divine generosity, seducing us to mirror God's generosity with our own. Here is what she wrote. The blessings that we associate with a cultivated and refined life must become universal if they are to be secure, she wrote. The good we procure for ourselves is precarious, uncertain, floating in midair, unless it is secured for all and made a part of our common life. You know, you are such good listeners, I might just leave that, assuming that you connect with the reference to our place and time, but just to be sure. Over the last 3 weeks as a community, we have rightly been anxious about theft and robbery along Commonwealth Avenue. And through the good work of police, the alleged perpetrators have been apprehended, and we are thankful and we are less anxious. We recognize that those so acting need to be brought to justice. But friend, the point for this life is not to catch a thief only. Our point, our life, is to catch up with thievery. The point is not to apprehend one robber or three, as important as that is. The point is to catch up with robbery itself. Where does this behavior come from? What kind of society, culture, community, history, economic structure produces this? Now, maybe with that just before us here on Commonwealth Avenue, you can hear Jane Addams' warning. The blessings that we associate with a life of refinement and cultivation, she wrote, must become universal if they are to be secure. The good we procure for ourselves is precarious, uncertain, floating in midair, unless it is secured for all and made a part of our common life. Those who founded Boston University, Isaac Rich and others, knew that. Those who through Boston University celebrated and ran Goodwill Industry knew that. Those who built Marsh Chapel for Howard Thurman and Martin King and others knew that. Those who not long ago invested two decades in the public education of Chelsea knew that. We've got bigger fish to fry and a world to address and a culture near and far to convert. Thank goodness for the divine generosity embracing and guiding. You know, it was Christopher Lash who taught me about Jane Addams. He said, Jane Addams, early in her life, had an experience. A little part of her heart was freed, and in the freeing of that part, all the rest of her life, Jane Addams' life, was released. I just wonder whether this Sunday, this week, there is a part of your soul, your spirit, maybe a part near to the wallet area, we will presume, which once freed up in generosity, in the practice of tithing, in disciplined giving, will just free up all of the rest. Beloved, hear the good news of divine generosity, so surprising, so spacious, so seductive. It reminds us of a 18th century Anglican cleric who spent almost all of his adult life living on 60 pounds sterling a year and just giving away the rest. Mr. John Wesley, in whose heritage we stand and whose poem we will make our own. Do all the good you can, at all the times you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Hear the good news. There is none good but God alone. With God, all things are possible. Amen.